To blow and swallow at the same time is not easy, wrote Plautus. A feat as difficult as sneezing and keeping your eyes open simultaneously. Or even harder, living through the last 3 years and retaining a faith in the integrity of governments, corporations, and medicine. Speaking about wavering faith in institutional wisdom, I wanted to start at a strange place. A poster heard me talking about various Scottish geniuses, like Adam Smith in economics, James Watt, who kicked off the Industrial Revolution with the steam engine, philosopher David Hume, geologists like James Hutton and Charles Lyell, etc. All these guys lived at around the same time period and profoundly affected the world. History remembers it as the Scottish Renaissance. And touching on that subject, on these great thinkers and scientists, I wanted to veer wildly a few hundred years into the future and talk about why I'm skeptical of science now. One of the things that worries me is GMO food. By manipulating the DNA of plants, they talk about great advances, but less spoken about are the possible dangers. Like GMO wheat absorbing anthrax from the soil via little things called plasmids. Plasmids can transfer genetic material like a patch onto other organisms. So a lot of people who have inflammation after eating wheat and who think that they have gluten intolerance are getting small doses of anthrax in their sandwich. That's why articles like this are sounding the alarm, writing, Bill Gates, the World Economic Forum, Silicon Valley investors, and others routinely tout gene editing, specifically CRISPR technology, as the solution to global food security. But some scientists, including two who spoke with the Defender, are critical of the technology, which they said carries known and unknown risks. And besides, they said, there are better and safer ways to produce enough food for everyone. They then go on to try to warn people about the possible ramifications of genetically altering food, like the aforementioned plasmids I mentioned. In this article from the National Laboratory of Medicine, we read, most of the current excitement in agricultural research focuses on gene splicing and recombinant DNA technology. It adds, plasmids are ideal vectors for carrying the new gene into a host cell because in nature, plasmids are routinely passed from one bacterium to another, where they are readily accepted. When the recombinant molecule, part bacterial plasmid, part plant gene, is taken up by the bacterial cell, that cell is said to be transformed. As the plasmid replicates inside the host cell, it copies the foreign gene along with its standard gene allotment. So think of a plasmid as nature's software. It can upload a new program onto the hardware of an organism, thus genetically reprogramming it. Scientists wanted to emulate nature and to do this on purpose as a way of guiding evolution, as they put it. They call the technology CRISPR, and The Guardian talks about it here.
The CRISPR technology is based on a bacterial immune system that allows bacteria to fight viral infection. How do they do this? They actually use a programmable enzyme called Cas9 that can be programmed with little bits of RNA. These are little copies of DNA sequences that allow the Cas9 protein to find a piece of DNA inside of a cell and cut it. And when that cleavage occurs in the DNA, cells take over, repair the break, and in the process, introduce a change to the DNA precisely at that place in the genome. One of the reasons scientists are so excited about the CRISPR technology is that it can be used to correct mutations that cause genetic disease like cystic fibrosis or Duchenne muscular dystrophy. Gene editing can also be used in the germline, that means in eggs or sperm or embryos. And when changes are made to DNA in those cells, the trait can be passed on to all of their future descendants. So it gives us now the power to change the very nature of what makes us human.
So basically, the RNA in your body can act as a patch. If a strand of DNA gets damaged, the RNA can replace it with genetic material from your deep hereditary archives. There was a case in Sweden where a girl was born with brown eyes, despite having two blue-eyed parents. This was highly unusual, and her paternity was called into question. A DNA test, however, proved that her parents were her parents. So how did she get brown eyes? In utero, a section of her DNA dealing with eye color was damaged, and her RNA patched it with the eye color of a great-grandmother. In summation, science is now trying to do this on purpose, damaging a strand of DNA and instead of allowing your RNA to patch it, to have some alien RNA uploaded into you via plasmid. So, as I said, they're trying to do their own clumsy version of what nature has been doing for millennia. Why this jumped out at me is because it suggests something profound. There have been mass die-offs throughout history, usually instigated by a plague. A pathogen is introduced, people die, and the survivors enjoy a cognitive leap into a new cultural paradigm. Look at the Iliad. In its opening pages, Homer talks about a plague that ravages the Aegean. After this pathogen uploaded itself into the population, there was a massive die-off, but on the other side was the philosophical epiphany of Athens. Likewise, Justinian's plague circa 500 AD. On the other side was Christian Europe. Then in 1300 AD, the Black Plague came in, killed one-third to one-half of Europe, and on the other side, the survivors created the Renaissance. So is human evolution being guided by pathogens, bacteria, plasmids uploading new genetic protocols into the people? I ask this as I go full circle back to the Scottish Renaissance in the 1700s. Scotland went from a backwater to a pivotal cultural hub with these great scientists and geniuses popping up all at once. On a hunch, I did a lazy internet search and this popped up. Lost Edinburgh, the Great Plague of 1645. In it we read, "The plague epidemic which gripped Edinburgh in 1645 was without exception the most devastating that the city ever experienced. It is estimated that up to half of the population died, while in Leith the percentage was even higher, perhaps due to the steady influx of ships from all over Europe. Corpses littered the closes, and local government collapsed as the infected fell in their tens of thousands." Long story short, human history has these strange transitional periods where stasis is disrupted by a pathogen, a bacterium is introduced, plasmids upload new information, there's mass die-off during the pandemic, and on the other side is a new paradigm shift. The transhumanist movement appears to be trying to do this on purpose, except instead of the gods doing it, as the Sumerians believed, it'll be oligarchs convening on Bond villain-like mountaintop chalets of the World Economic Forum, such as Yuval Harari, who said that this might be the last generation of non-gene-edited people. He made a video for us here.
All big changes frighten people. We are probably one of the last generations of Homo sapiens. In a century or two, we will either destroy ourselves, or far more likely is that we will use technology to upgrade ourselves into something different. We are facing changing the most basic rules of the game of life. For 4 billion years of evolution, life evolved by natural selection, and life was confined to the organic realm. Doesn't matter if you're an amoeba or dinosaur or a Homo sapien, you're made of organic compounds. Life will evolve by intelligent design, and it will break out of the organic realm into the inorganic with the creation of the first inorganic life forms. There'll still be beings, entities on planet Earth, but they will be probably much more different from us than we are different from Neanderthals or from chimpanzees. It's a complete game changer. It will also enable for the first time to break out of planet Earth. It's almost impossible to sustain human life or organic life in general in outer space and on other planets. But once you make the switch from the organic to the inorganic, there is no problem sustaining artificial intelligence. So if you think about Star Trek, Star Wars and all that, they still depict people like us flying in a spaceship in the speed of light. But what they miss is that the really different thing won't be the spaceships, it will be the beings flying in the spaceships. It won't be something like us, it will be something very different. It's evolutionary, but it's not evolution by natural selection, it's evolution by intelligent design.
As you know, The New American has partnered with a platform called Locals recently. It's a for-pay platform where fans can help support the show for like $5. Think of it like seeing a street musician and throwing a few coins in his cup. Besides, if you sign up, I can stop selling my bootleg merch, like the Daniel Natal urinal cake. That was an even worse seller than the Daniel Natal in action figure. Turns out that kids didn't exactly care to see Daniel engaging in an action as he surfs the web, or engaging in an action as he watches TV. These were not big sellers. Embarrassingly, focus groups determined that the inaction figure in particular did slightly better when rebranded as the Daniel Natal voodoo doll. At any rate, drop by our web address at thenewamerican.locals.com if you want to have more intimate contact with the hosts, get additional content not available elsewhere, and if you want to help support the show.